You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. And finally, Week 13 went into the books there with the Steelers rallying to beat the Bengals 23-20. We'll break that game down for you before we dive into what we usually do here on Pickup Tuesday is the waiver wire and free agent advice, and it's pretty critical in Week 14. Either playoff time for a lot of leagues there or a chance to get in the playoffs, and some definite values there that can help you immediately, some backfield situation. So we'll get into those. One of them is definitely related to the Steelers-Bengals game. A couple reminders here is that remember that it's Draft Wednesday tomorrow on Matchup Wednesday here for Locked On Fantasy Football. I'll set up a league for you guys to join there on Draft. If you haven't tried it out, you should. Your chances of winning are so much better than on the salary cap leagues there. It's a fun way to do it. You're done quickly with the snake draft, and drafts are starting all the time and a chance to play every week and reset with a new group of players. So that's always fun, and we'll set up that league, and I'll tell you how to join that tomorrow, so listen for that. And make sure you're leaving a review for the show on iTunes, because you have a shot to win that Pro Football Focus Edge subscription, one winner per show per week. And we're now joined on Fridays, our new Focused Fridays, by the director of fantasy for Pro Football Focus, Jeff Ratcliffe. So he'll plan to be joining us then, and I hope you'll join us the rest of the week here as well. So let's get into it as we turn the page to Week 14. We put a bow on the Steelers-Bengals, and for this, the Steelers started slow, but again, their principal stars came through. Again, it's a very heavy killer bees at this point, all the way down to Chris Boswell. Ben Roethlisberger, 290 yards, two TDs, interception. The game flow helped where the Steelers were down big here, 17-0. They got a field goal there at the end of the half, kind of sparked this entire offense, and they dominated the second half. A lot of ugliness, bad penalties, hits, the scary moment with Ryan Shazier, the retaliation from previous meetings from Juju Smith-Schuster on Vontaze Burfict. So all that was ugly, but from fantasy football perspective, the Steelers got things done with the Le'Veon Bell, another big game from scrimmage, and he found the end zone. They didn't really try to tackle him on that play, but 76 yards rushing, so still not huge rushing numbers, but man, 106 yards receiving and a score there, so just a monster. Antonio Brown got in the fun, had 15 targets, caught only 8, had the bad foot-toe going into this game, but he grinded out to play for you, which was fantastic. 8 catches, 101 yards, and a TD. So solid game given his condition and the fact that he typically struggles against the Bengals' pass defense. They really could not do anything, especially when Adam Jones was knocked out of this game. Early, he had been the guy that had been kind of containing him. On the other side of things, it was a solid game for Andy Dalton. We didn't really love Andy Dalton in primetime. He usually struggles, but 234 yards and two TDs. It does help to have A.J. Green on the other side and catching both of those touchdowns. He had 16 targets, so he had more than Brown, but only caught 7 for 77 and two TDs here, but that's fine. You'll take the two score a game like that anytime in this critical week. There, Randall LaFell, 4 for 55, but other than that, the receivers are never found. The big development in the backfield was that Joe Mixon had to enter concussion protocol. He actually looked pretty good early. He might have changed the way this game was going. Before he departed, he had 8 touches for 42 yards. So he was definitely having an impact on this one. The Steelers are having trouble, especially with no Shazier in the middle and more injuries there at inside linebacker. But Gio Bernard, if he needs to get in, we'll get into why he's a good pickup this week. 13 carries for 77 yards, so look good there against his linebacker core with his quickness, just ran tough as well, and two receptions for 19 yards. So clearly they have no other options. Brian Hill is the leftover guy with no Jeremy Hill left for the season. So Bernard, if Mixon stays the protocol, and you would expect in a short week, he's probably going to have to miss the game against the Bears. Bernard makes for a fantastic play here, and he's definitely one of the many fill-in backs that have sudden value, and it will go right into that as the perfect transition. And you look at what we have here with the running backs, and I think Bernard has to be top of the list after Monday Night Football because, again, we're pretty confident here that Mixon won't be able to play. It's just hard to recover from that in a short week. They're playing the Bears at 1, so there's not much time there on Sunday. So you'd expect it'll be tough for him to be cleared. And Bernard has run well where, even in this game against the Steelers, he was the lead early, and Mixon had to be worked in there. So Bernard against the Bears, it looks like a fantastic spot for him to get a lot of touches and be productive. We know the Bears have struggled a little bit with versatile running backs, more so than receivers there. So you'd expect a lot of AJ Green and a lot of Bernard from the Bengals as they try to rebound and get a win, and they should be favored pretty nicely in this game at home against Chicago. So Bernard has to top the list here. But there's plenty of other backfield help with the injury developments that have happened this late in the season. One for sure is Peyton Barber, and we knew Doug Martin missed last week's game with a concussion. We weren't sure Jaquizz Rodgers or Charles Sims or Peyton Barber if it was going to be a big-time split, because Barber was pretty much just used as the goal line guy in Atlanta and scored. But he came through with a second big straight week, this time with volume, just kind of dominated the Packers and that defense, and another easy matchup here at home against the Lions. So if Martin's out, or even if he plays, Barber has got to have a lot of appeal because he looked a lot better than Martin has all season for Dirk Cutter's offense. They have nothing left to play for. Then you look at the future, Martin may not be a part of it. Jaquizz Rodgers may not be a part of it. So Barber makes sense as a young running back that they can look at more and more. The star out of Auburn doing some damage here. Remember, this team once had Cadillac Williams from Auburn doing some big things as well. So maybe there's a thing there with the history. But for now, in the present, Barber has to be looked at as a definite pickup priority. I think Bernard and Barber, it's pretty close. The thing that maybe changes why I like Bernard is the matchup, and knowing that Mixon's probably going to miss the game. I think Martin, we're not 100% sure on yet. We won't know probably till like Wednesday or Thursday if that's looking like he'll return here. So I think Barber has the bigger upside, but Bernard for the short term might be better here for you at home against the Bears after his productive day. But both these backs all of a sudden can be helping you as an RB2 depending on your league format. Another guy that you have to look at because of injuries and things have fallen apart, Eddie Lacy and Thomas Rawls have not gotten the job done behind Chris Carson. Mike Davis, coming back from the groin against the Eagles, puts together a nice game, close to 100 yards there combined from scrimmage. So he looked like maybe the answer, maybe what Carson was early in the season for the Seahawks. It is a tricky matchup against the Jaguars where they've shored up against the run of late, so I wouldn't get too excited about it. But any running back that gets significant touches on a good offense, you have to look at it. And Mike Davis should draw some more interest this week. Another guy that you have to look at is Kerwin Williams. Again, we didn't know what was going to happen with Adrian Peterson there, if he was going to play even with a neck injury. But he did be inactive against the Rams. So then you were wondering, Williams or DJ Foster? It was clearly Kerwin Williams. He ran well against the Rams, got some good chunk runs there, flirted close to the 100-yard mark as well. So this is what reminds you that you cannot sleep on any back in any situation, because if somebody's getting the volume, they can always produce, and that's what we saw with Williams for sure as the early down back. Even with the game kind of out of hand, they stuck with Williams there against the Rams. So that's a good sign for his usage. DJ Foster, I think they just weren't prepared to give him a bit heavy workload. That could, of course, change. We'll have to see if Peterson can go with a neck injury this week. The Tennessee Titans have been pretty good against the run, so the expectation shouldn't be too high, but the Rams also were a pretty tough defense, and Williams came through at home, so there's always a chance for a short score as well, because I think the Cardinals can move the ball and the Titans through the air. So Williams, he you have to look at, he's just a fourth behind those guys, clearly, because of just the upside in the running game and the situations that present in those matchups for those other three guys. Now, on the other side of things, in that Bucks-Lions matchup this week, we got to monitor Ameer Abdullah. He also missed a game, like Peterson, with a neck injury in Week 13. Theoretic is the natural guy there, but he's owned in a lot of leagues, I'm sure, because of the PPR thing. But if he's available in your standard league, you have to look at him, because he definitely stepped in and got a lot more touches and did score the red zone. But another guy that did as well was Teon Green, and Green looked better than Abdullah really has in a long time, just straight up running the football. And this kid scored against the Ravens. You'd think the Lions want to run a little bit more to protect the banged up Matthew Stafford. This could be a game with a lot of points and chances for scoring there in Tampa Bay. So you look at Barber on one side, I think Riddick, if he's owned, you can look, reach to Green, especially if you're an Abdullah owner and you're a bit desperate and you needed someone there to fill in. It's clearly not Dwayne Washington. It was a healthy, not used player last week for the Lions. Now, if you had to go back into the well for the Jets, I think you look at Matt Forte. He might still be available. I bet Bilal Powell's own, and for the upside, Elijah McGuire's own in a lot of leagues. But Forte's still the guy. They're still trying to get him in there and make him be the main man in this backfield in terms of touches. So as long as he's around, it's going to hurt Powell and McGuire's upside. But Forte is going to push through, and it's the Broncos this week. So Forte should be busy as a pass catcher as well as Powell. And we know this Broncos team is kind of falling apart everywhere, especially against the run. And one guy I picked up last week, and I played him. I wish I had played him together in one league with Alfred Morris. But you look at Rod Smith, the Giants are kind of free falling against the run. You'd think that Rod Smith could be like the DeAndre Washington and piggyback here on what Alfred Morris could do in the Marshawn Lynch role this week and score again in that game. So Rod Smith has to be there. And you know, this backfield is going to go to Ezekiel Elliott here. We got two more games coming up before Zeke is in there. But they are favorable matchups here for the Cowboys. So you want last chance to get a part of this Cowboys backfield, especially if you're not a Zeke owner and want some of that here down the stretch. Now, people have been asking me ever since I started this podcast, who do I like, Lions or Buccaneers, Cowboys or Giants? But let me tell you, where you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting on. And that's why I tell people to go to mybookie.ag. It's one of the best betting sites in the business, and really no one does it better with their easy mobile wagering. Makes a live betting on a go a breeze for you. The user experience is incredible on their website. And the best part is you go play there, you win, you get paid. Seriously, you get paid in just 2 business days. So that's fantastic. So they don't mess around at MyBookie, and you shouldn't either, trying out other wagering sites. MyBookie.ag is the way to go. And best of all, listeners to Locked On Fantasy Football can take advantage of the 100% deposit bonus that MyBookie is offering. You just enter the promo code Locked On there. So you go to MyBookie, enter that promo code, you'll get that bonus, and you'll be on your way to the greatest action you can find on the internet with the MyBookie. And reminder, MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Join now and enter the promo code Locked On to take advantage of that 100% deposit bonus. Now, as we continue with our pickups, we look at wide receivers, and the guy that you have to look at here is Marquise Goodwin for sure. He stands out. Jimmy Garoppolo has returned to the fold. Goodwin has had 2 straight good games, but looked a lot better with Garoppolo than with C.J. Beathard in there. So Marquise Goodwin is definitely a guy that you look at. I think he's a good DFS play this week, but in a Standard League even, he is now the 49ers' number one receiver. Garoppolo didn't waste time making him his top target in his first start there in Chicago. With no Pierre Garçon, Marquise Goodwin is looking very good for you against this Texans secondary that's a mess right now. Can't cover a guy like Goodwin and his track star speed, literally. So Goodwin is my top pickup there at wide receiver for sure. Another guy that you have to look at that is legitimate here is Jermaine Kearse. This is two straight big games for Kearse. They get the Broncos this week. The Broncos secondary can be tough, but I don't know if we really trust that at this point. I think when you look at the skill sets there of Robbie Anderson and Jermaine Kearse, I would say Kearse is more like the Kenny Stills type there of the two. And we know Stills just had a pretty good game against the Broncos. So still Kearse with the volume and attention. You have to pay attention to him. Even in a tricky matchup, you may pivot away from him if you got some depth at wide receiver this week. But he definitely can be valuable here around the corner. So Kearse being involved heavily. And this team has gone away from really the Austin Seferian Jenkins looks and inside. And that, and typically that would be a good matchup here for the Jets. But I think they're going more outside air raid with Kearse and Anderson. And it's pretty much Josh McCown locked into both of these guys. And red hot for sure. So I don't know if they're matchup proof, but they're definitely guys that are seeing a lot of volume. And that's what you want at a wide receiver. And the Jets won't really mess around in this game at all. You know, you can trust them to do what they're supposed to do with McCown. Another guy that I really like is the rookie Dede Westbrook there from Jacksonville. He's taking a bigger step forward here. Thought he could have a bigger game. It was still a solid game against the Colts, but Seahawks come to town here. I think the attention is going to be on Marquise Lee from probably Shaq Griffin on one side there. So I look at Westbrook maybe having some opportunities to make big plays. Could be a chance for some garbage there if they have to chase the Seahawks with Blake Bortles. Either way, there's some value there with Westbrook as really the clear number two there. In Jacksonville and the Jaguars passing him, actually having to do more with Leonard Fournette in the running game slowed down. Another guy I really like is Mike Wallace. And Wallace was very useful a couple weeks ago, had the really disappointing game there in between, but came through big time against the Lions last week. He's clearly the number one there in terms of Joe Flacco and who he's looking at. He gets the Steelers this week. We know the Steelers secondary is not the same, giving up a lot of big plays. Without Joe Hayden in there, they've had to rotate other guys. Cody Sensabaugh had to be benched. They had to put in the rookie Cameron Sutton. So Wallace is probably going to be the guy that's going to be targeted a lot, and you expect some volume there with the Ravens playing at the Steelers. So he's definitely a guy. You look at Dontrell Inman, it's probably the last call for him. He's clearly the go-to guy. Even with the low volume for Mitchell Trubisky and a tough matchup against the Bengals, he's still the number one target there, and you expect some things to be targeted for sure in a game where the Bears will be trailing. So not too much a wide receiver. There wasn't too much shake-up in status quo, but Goodwin, and if you're in a deeper league, you can also look at the slot guy there as the number two. And now in San Francisco, Trent Taylor, after he went over 90 yards as well in Chicago. Speaking of Chicago, Jimmy Garoppolo led that to San Francisco team to victory. And you think if we're recommending Goodwin and Taylor, you got to recommend the guy that was throwing to them is Garoppolo. And the matchup is beautiful this week. So DFS, you have to definitely consider him as a sneaky tournament stack with Garoppolo and Goodwin. I don't know if it's going to be too sneaky because you'll probably look at this matchup and say, yeah, and the way he played last week and say, yeah. So Garoppolo, though, has to be picked up in a lot of leagues at this point, standard backup, streamer, whatever you want to call it. He is valuable now because this offense has totally come to life with him. So Garoppolo is a guy that you can not only pick up as a bench player, but if you're struggling in a deeper league, you don't really like the matchups of your number one guy, I go with Garoppolo this week. Now, you got to look at Josh McCown, and we mentioned the Broncos matchup isn't too easy, but then we just saw Jay Cutler throw a couple touchdowns on this team. So this team's in free fall. The Jets are hot. McCown is getting the job done with his arm and his legs. He should be owned, and I really think a lot of teams would have been better off if they just went undrafted and picked up McCown at the end as a free agent early in the season. If you'd played him for most of the season, you'd be pretty happy in getting a QB1 result. So it's insane, but that's what's happened. That's how crazy this year has been. Now, I look at another guy, Jameis Winston. We wanted to see how the shoulder did, but still came through with two touchdowns, even though he got sacked and ripped for seven drops there against the Packers. He still came through. He's going to be at home against the Lions. Remember, I mentioned it could be a high-scoring affair between Winston and Stafford going back and forth, so it's a good guy to have again. And I look at one game that could be sneaky for the quarterbacks is the Packers-Browns game. Brett Hundley has actually been a lot better on the road there, so you can explore the option of playing him in that matchup against the beatable Browns secondary. And the other side, DeShone Kizer with Josh Gordon back in the fold, Corey Coleman there as well. This Packers secondary is a mess. So this could have some sneaky points. We know that Kizer and Hundley could also run a little bit in this game to pad their stats. So Kizer, another deeper DFS play that you can look at. I don't think you play him unless you're in a 2QB league or a really deep league there. Yeah, I'd say Kizer is slightly ahead of Hundley because he's at home, but Hundley has played well on the road as well. So both these are really deep streaming options at tournament plays because, you know, the use of ownership is not going to be as high as someone like Garoppolo this week. And you have to look at these guys even in your other leagues. Now, are you figuring out who's going to be the next great thing at quarterback? Who's going to be these franchise guys that are we've seen with Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, and maybe what Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota still could be, or a sneaky guy like Garoppolo? Well, we've got you covered with our show Locked On NFL Draft. You got Sam Darnold of USC, Josh Rosen of UCLA, but how about Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield announced this week as Heisman finalists here for 2017. Both those guys are going to have a lot of talk on where they should go in the draft because of their size and questions about their skill set. But they definitely are dynamic players, putting up awesome fantasy football numbers in college. Let's hope they'll find a place somewhere. And to find out more about them, definitely listen to the Locked On NFL Draft show. It's a great network here in Locked On NFL Network. Make sure you're checking out all the shows, your team beat reports, and Locked On NFL Draft. And we'll close here with a look at the tight ends and defenses that you need to look at for week 14. And tight ends is weird again. Cameron Brait has use again with Jameis Winston back. He scored twice in the red zone there, the top red zone target clearly for Winston. It's a good matchup against the Lions, who've been starting to be leaky against the tight end, allowed Benjamin Watson to score in the red zone last week. So Cameron Brait back on the radar if he was dropped in your league, and he probably was because he was doing nothing for about three or four straight weeks. And he's back in play here as a tight end that you can definitely look at and play this week. I mentioned a little bit Safarian Jenkins. The Broncos have just been awful against the tight end. They let Julius Thomas score in a short touchdown last week. So Safarian Jenkins, if you're reaching and you think the matchup is going to work out and you know the attention is going to go to Anderson and Kearse here from that Broncos secondary, things could open up nicely for Safarian Jenkins to have an impact again here. Another guy, I did mention Julius Thomas. He's really a key part of this Dolphins passing game now with a Devontae Parker kind of fading out of it. So it's really a lot of a Jarvis Landry, a lot of Kenny Stills, and a lot of Thomas. And then the matchup against the Patriots, he was 5 for 52 just against his team 2 weeks ago. Scored last week against the Broncos, his former team. So good chance to keep it going here as he works to stick around in Miami with a new contract. A good finish here is important for Julius Thomas. Another guy you have to look at for sure because the usage of the tight end is Trey Burton. You look at the previous game where Zach Ertz missed, and it looks like he might miss this week against the Rams. Burton stepped in immediately, acted like Ertz as the receiving tight end of choice here behind Brent Celek, scored a touchdown there in the Broncos matchup. So Trey Burton is a guy that you have to look at as your replacement, especially if you're a Zach Ertz owner. You can look there and you can look directly to replace Ertz with Burton, at least for 1 week, kind of handcuff your tight end. It really doesn't happen that way most of the time, but that is definitely a unique situation. Now, we look at Ricky Seals-Jones. As expected, he cooled off against the Rams last week, who cover the tight end pretty well. The Titans do not cover the tight end as well, and that's who the Cardinals get at home this week. So you figure this passing game is going to have a little bit more success with Blaine Gabbert against the Titans at home, and Seals-Jones should be a big factor in that, as well as Larry Fitzgerald. And one more guy, and we kind of hinted at this when we broke down the Texans-Titans game, Steven Anderson. They've kind of kept this guy on wraps. They've really liked him as a receiver and blocker, but C.J. Fedorowicz has been in front of him. Ryan Griffin has been in front of him. But Griffin, we know, has been long gone for the season. Fedorowicz has been in and out, and they finally gave Anderson a chance. The other wideout's just not getting it done with Will Fuller out. It's kind of a mix of Bruce Ellington and Braxton Miller. Anderson really took over as the number two option for Savage. It helps him reduce on the turnovers as well. So matchup against the 49ers is pretty nice at home here for Anderson to keep it going and maybe find the end zone for a second straight week. So Anderson, you never know with tight end. Streamers and valuable guys can pop up late. We saw Severian Jenkins. That happened with him in the middle of the season. Now it's happening with Anderson here late in the season. Now we close with the defenses and special teams you can target this week. I think you have to start with the Jets because the Broncos are just in complete free fall. We know Trevor Siemian is just incompetent at this point. The running game is limited, so got to love the Jets on the road against the Broncos. Also, got to love the Bills at home against the Colts to get some sacks here. Their defense is probably going to have to be a bigger factor with maybe Nathan Peterman starting that game for the Bills and going run heavy in defense, and I think that'll pay off with some sacks there for sure for the Bills defense. And we know that they have potential to make some big plays defensively as well with Micah Hyde back there cleaning up in the secondary against Brissett. You got to look at the Bengals that started off pretty well against the Steelers but unraveled there. That won't happen against the Bears. They're getting Mitchell Trubisky at home, so fire up the Bengals. And then you have to look at the Packers here for sure. The Browns still making a lot of mistakes. I think they could make a few big plays, but the Packers on the road coming off a big sack game at home against the Buccaneers, had a defensive score in that one as well. So Packers are good to keep up their mojo this week in Cleveland. So good streaming options this week all around for you for sure. A lot of regularly owned play defenses, but those are four offenses that you can exploit there that I mentioned, the Browns, Bears, Colts, and Broncos. Always go after the bad offenses with the still decent defenses, and that's what you're seeing this week. So there you have it. There's another edition of Locked On Fantasy Football in the books. It's a pickup Tuesday, so hopefully that helps you improve your team here, not only for week 14, but going forward as the games get bigger and the playoffs are here in fantasy football. For Locked On Fantasy Football, and a reminder, tomorrow's Draft Wednesday. This has been Vinny Iyer. We'll talk to you next time for Matchup Wednesday.